This episode of The Sweaty Penguin is brought to you by the Metaverse. Do you want to experience life at a lower frame rate and buy seemingly worthless property from a guy who looks suspiciously like a robot? Try the Metaverse today.
Welcome to our newest bonus episode of The Sweaty Penguin, and today is our second ever Winner's Circle Kahoot. So Hallie will be defending her first Winner's Circle victory against Owen and Sabrina, and we have all three of them here today. Hallie, Owen, and Sabrina, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Exciting to be here.
Nervous once again. Can't wait.
I'm also nervous, but I'm excited to defend my title.
I am excited to have you all. So first off, for anyone who hasn't gotten the chance to hear from the three of you, I'd love if you could share a little bit about your roles on The Sweaty Penguin. So Sabrina, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, of course. I'm Sabrina, and I'm the social media manager for The Sweaty Penguin. So if you're on the Instagram, the Twitter, the Facebook, and you're reading a caption, I probably wrote it. I'm also running the TikTok, so you'll see my face on there. Like I said in the past episode, if you really want to put a face to a name or a voice, go check out the TikTok because I'm all over it. So that's my main role here at The Sweaty Penguin. And we got some really great fellows recently that have been helping me out. So that's been really awesome. But yeah, I'm really excited to go through this Kahoot today.
I'm Hallie. Not sure if you'd be able to put a face to my name anywhere, but I've been at The Sweaty Penguin for a while now. I manage the social media team, which is also combined with our news team. So any journalism articles we're publishing and things that go out on our social media, I work really closely with Sabrina. I also work really closely with Owen, who is also in this game, because I'm also a researcher. So I do some behind the scenes writing of the deep dive episodes as well. Really excited to play today.
So I'm Owen. I have been with the Sweaty Penguin since last June 1st, I believe. So we're just over a year and just over a month into my time here. To put a face to my name, I think you would have to go, I've written a couple columns on the website and you can really zoom in and you can see me intently staring at the camera with a nice dark background. So that's that's how you can see my face if you ever want to. I run the research team, like Hallie said. So there's a team of eight of us there doing a lot of background stuff on the episodes, fact checking, making sure all the information is correct and writing scripts in that sense. I'm also helping on the business side. I'm doing a bachelor's of commerce in Victoria. So on that sense, yeah, trying to help grow the business as well.
And you were directly responsible for the Canada wildfires.
Yes, I did start every single one, actually.
That was really fun for us New Yorkers. So thank you so much.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, that headshot that you mentioned is a little terrifying. aspire to pull one of those off.
Yeah, it's from a couple of years ago. It's probably the only like semi-professional headshot I have, so I just keep using it. I'll get a new one sooner when it's not so dark.
Yeah, we need one of you smiling. I mean, the Canada wildfires were an accomplishment, I would say.
Yeah, I'm trying to intimidate any other newsrooms that are looking towards us, so stay away.
There you go. So before we jump into the Kahoot, I wanted to take a moment to highlight a major success that a lot of team members contributed to, but it was largely Hallie that pulled this off. Hallie, do you want to talk a little bit about the Boston University New Venture Competition?
Sure. So over the past 6 months, the Sweaty Penguin was entered in the New Venture Competition, which is Boston University's largest annual competition. So we were in the social impact track for businesses looking to make a form of social change. And we ended up placing first out of 80 applicants. So it was a process of pitching the Sweaty Penguin to judges in both the semifinal and final round of the competition. And yeah, we ended up walking home with a cash prize and lots of good mentoring and recognition. So we're really proud of the team and we're really happy that we were able to win that.
And we're really proud of you. And if you didn't catch, it was a $20,000 cash prize, which was amazing. How did it feel to hold a giant check? Because that's something I've never experienced before.
Yeah, I didn't even know they were gonna have me hold a big check. But at the time, I was just so surprised. I didn't really know what was going on. So I just was kind of directed on stage to hold this huge thing. And I didn't even really know it was a check at the time, I don't think. I thought it was like a sign. So that was funny. But yeah, it was great just like talking to everyone, and BU has some great, great business mentors. And so it was really fun connecting with everyone. And I'm glad that I was able to go through that experience because I don't study business in school. So it was good exposure for that as well.
Yeah, and I know you beat out some actual like graduate business student teams, which is so cool. Owen, I know that a lot of the research that went into, especially some of the initial applications, was stuff that you had worked on. Would you like to speak to some of the ways you contributed as well?
I had done some work in the past on trying to look into some other opportunities for us, and I'd made kind of more of an in-depth document on different aspects around the Sweaty Penguin as an organization, based around structure, based around different revenue streams and opportunities kind of thing. So there was that, and then like a PowerPoint, and that, through that as well, kind of to put it in a more easier sense. And I think, as far as this competition goes, I know me and Hallie had at least, we had one meeting about it. And tried to help lay out as much as I could, but I know she moved ahead from anything that I had done pretty quickly as well. And yeah, hats off to her for everything that she did in that. It's pretty awesome to see from an outside perspective a little bit.
Yeah, I think it was a cool journey because when I was still a student at BU, I had entered us into the New Venture Competition in 2021, and in 2022, I was still eligible because it was a year out from graduation. And both times we made the semifinal round. And I think what got us stuck is a number of things. One was just general financial projections. I don't think I had a clear idea of how to do that. But the other thing was they wanted us to speak about going to market. And I kept saying, well, we went to market, we launched the podcast, and now we're here. And I think we were not quite looking at that right. And that was something that when Owen joined the team, we started reviewing, and I think figured out that going to market wasn't necessarily, like the podcast itself wasn't necessarily the product we were selling. In some cases it could be, but in a lot of cases, we're thinking about selling an audience to potential sponsors or advertisers, to potential partners who might want to collaborate with us. And I think that was something that Owen helped us realize and kind of shaped the way we repitched it this time around. Owen, I'm curious if you had any thoughts about, because we had some like very confused conversations about this.
Yeah, I remember that too. I think that was that was near the start of my time with the Sweaty Penguin. And I remember I was working on a little bit of that. And I think just based around like our initial conversations, I was almost trying to pitch it that way a little bit too. And I was kind of struggling with that. I found that was kind of what direction I was going. I was trying to pitch it and I was thinking this isn't this doesn't really make sense because that's not where we're bringing in our most of our revenue, even at the moment. So it's more, we kind of switched that mindset of looking for business to business instead of we're not like a business to like consumers kind of thing. So I think that was kind of a shift that I had. It took me a little bit too because of our conversations, and I was like trying to figure out where we were at. But that was kind of where I came in that sense.
Hallie, how similar was it to Shark Tank?
Like, I've never really seen a lot of Shark Tank, but it was definitely like really intimidating. And at the same time, it was so good that it was intimidating because it definitely like lifted my confidence a lot, public speaking wise. Like, I don't have that much exposure to public speaking, so that was good. But yeah, I never, even as a kid, like I never did any sports that had like judges in front of them or anything. So it was sort of like intimidating in that sense.
What were some of the more interesting pieces of feedback you got during the process?
What I was surprised about is we got a lot of great feedback on our idea to potentially become a nonprofit. So that was something that I hadn't considered to be a huge component of our application, but something that the judges really liked. We also got good feedback just on our message in general, because I know sometimes in the journalism space, there is so much content being pushed out that like smaller newsrooms sometimes feel like they don't have as large of a voice. And it was really nice to see the judges validating the fact that we were very unique and that they hadn't seen anything like us before. So that was really great feedback as well.
Yeah, that was very cool to hear some of the feedback through you. So congratulations again to Hallie and to everyone who contributed to that. And lastly, talking about entrepreneurship and everything, I'm going to ask all three of you this question. It's something that I've been asked before, and I'm curious if what you guys think about this. And I'll start with Sabrina. What would be your advice to someone who wants to start a podcast or start content creating?
So I would definitely say, and I think you did a great job with this too, is first of all, one great part about Boston University, and as well as I'm sure many colleges, is you get to make a lot of friends who are very talented in different fields. And so when you're trying to start a podcast or be on TikTok or, you know, have a platform in content creation, I think having people you know who could be good resources and you can bring them onto your project. Like, I know you use a lot of people from BU when you're first starting out, like during COVID, and definitely having that network of people is really helpful. And I think it's, you know, they always say that you need to be networking during undergrad, but it's not even just with people who are already in the professional world, but it's like your fellow classmates and who you're working with, even if you're at your first job, because they can help you. So that would be my biggest piece of advice, is like, definitely reach out to those that are around you that you know are going to be really helpful.
I'm going to have to agree with Sabrina. I was going to say, I think networking is a huge part of it, because you just really only need a few opportunities to get exposure that can really lift you off the ground. And I would also say consistency is really important. I know that that is a very common thing to say, but we make a hard effort to get content out every week, and we work behind the scenes on schedules. And so those things are important for planning ahead and making sure that you're keeping your audience engaged and not leaving them wondering. So that's, I guess, my advice. And yeah, just not getting discouraged if you feel like there's a lot of people already in the space you want to go into. I feel like when I consume content, I consume a lot of different content, and some of it is the same, but different people. So there's always like room for more. It's a field that's growing really fast. And so don't be discouraged if you think someone's already doing something that you want to do. Just go for it and see where it takes you.
Yeah, I agree that like leveraging your like network and everybody you know is definitely a good start. But I also think even to me, just taking action in general is like one of the biggest parts when if you're coming to start a podcast or any business or social media or anything like that. Planning is obviously good, I think, but I've seen often or I've heard of people and you plan so much where you almost plan yourself out of even ever starting. Like planning is good, but I think starting is better. And just starting, putting stuff out, and you can learn that way too. And if you don't think too much about it, it's easy to psych yourself out. And once that happens, then maybe you don't ever end up doing it. So I would say starting, and whatever that means to you, social media, podcast, any direction in that sense.
That's all really great advice. I would second all of those, and especially asking other people for help. The Sweaty Penguin would not be possible without our amazing team. And when people were sending me congratulations about the new venture competition, it was getting on my nerves so much because I felt like I did nothing beyond a like 15-minute call with Hallie months before. So I definitely try to give credit where credit is due. And but a big part of that is getting the people in the room to take on all these different things. So with that, are we ready for the Kahoot?
Yep.
I'm so ready.
I can't begin to explain how nervous I am.
No, the pressure is now on.
All right, we will jump into this right after the break.
Has your home been decimated by flooding, tornadoes, or any other natural disaster intensified by climate change? Then the metaverse is for you. In your metaverse house, you can host parties, play concerts, find digital friends that all look like a roided-up Tom Cruise. Supplies are limited. Act now while you can still buy a cozy patch of RGB grass in the metaverse for the low, low price of your mom as an NFT. The metaverse, because Blade Runner wasn't realistic enough.
Welcome back to the Sweaty Penguin Winner's Circle Kahoot number 2, where Hallie will be defending her championship against Owen and Sabrina, our previous 2 Kahoot winners. So let's get into it. This Kahoot is... So our first Winner's Circle was on Tip of the Iceberg episodes 1 through 17. So this one picks up where we left off. It is 18 through 40. So we have 23 questions. And to be honest, when I was putting this together, I forgot about some of these episodes. So we'll see how this goes. Question 1. Which topic was absent from the G7's May 27th, 2022 communique? Keeping global warming under 1.5 degrees Celsius, oil and gas, plastic, or the Russian invasion of Ukraine?
I think I already got one wrong. Uh-oh.
The look of terror on everyone's face was
I literally threw my wonderful. Hand up. I haven't thrown my hand up to my mouth so fast in my life before.
Well, it is oil and gas, and nobody got it. Off to a good start.
Killing it, guys.
Yeah.
I think this was one of the harder ones to recall. But yeah, this...
That's good to know.
Only up from here.
Yeah, this sort of followed the COP26 conference in 2021. There was a lot to do with phasing out or phasing down coal, and oil and gas really got left out from that conversation. And then when the G7 countries reconvened in 2022, they once again kind of left out oil and gas. Since last November, that's been a little different, but at the time, that was a bit of a concern for me. So on to question 2. What is the difference between climate and weather? Climate is about global patterns. Weather is about local conditions. Climate is about temperature. Weather includes precipitation. Climate is about long-term averages. Weather is about day-to-day, or they're the same thing. And the correct answer is C. Climate is about long-term averages. Weather is about day-to-day. Who got this one?
I was one. I got one.
I was the other one.
Owen and Hallie. How do either of you want to speak to this?
Climate is not... If climate was global patterns, we'd see sort of like... We obviously see like a lot of different climates across the world. And then individual geographic locations are known for their climate, and that's composed of sort of what the weather is on an average day. So that's sort of where you get the distinction, is climate is sort of composed of what the weather is over time.
Exactly. So when we talk about climate change, we're not talking about every day becoming 1.5 degrees Celsius hotter. We're talking about more extreme hot days, more extreme cold days, more extreme precipitation and what have you. And when we combine all of that, we see a 1.5 or 1.1 or whatever degree Celsius shift. So that's an important concept that came up in that episode and many episodes. So with that, Hallie takes the lead with 863 points. Owen is right behind with 844. Sabrina, we will get you on the board. Question 3. Which bacteria caused the FDA's baby formula recall from Abbott Labs last year? Chronobacter sakazaki, Listeria monocytogenes, Clostridium botulinum, or Escherichia coli?
Let the record show, it did not let me answer. So I could have gotten it. I think I lost my connection, but it's okay.
Oh no. Are you back in?
Yes, I am. But just let the record show. I could have gotten that one.
Yes. Well, no one got it. It was Chronobacter sakazaki, and that led to one of the... It was a really funny set of jokes about that, because it was named after the Greek titan Kronos, who apparently ate his kids when they were born. And so we had like 20 different jokes about that, and you need to check out the episode to see it. There was also a joke that Shannon wrote that was way too inappropriate for me to even tell you.
All I could think of for that answer was E. coli, so that's why I went with that one.
That's where my brain went too.
Mm-hmm.
On to question 4. What regulation did the West Virginia v. EPA Supreme Court case overturn? The Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act, Affordable Clean Energy Rule, or Clean Power Plan? It is the Clean Power Plan. Who got it?
I was one of the answers there.
I was not.
I was the other one.
Owen and Hallie again. Would any of you like to speak to this one?
For me, I was like, it was more like a process of elimination, I guess. Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act. I was like 99% sure it didn't do that. So it was kind of a toss up between the two. And I figured, I don't know why I went with Clean Power Plan, but it sounded more like something. That I don't know, I've maybe heard of.
Yeah, the case had to do with the Clean Air Act, but the Clean Power Plan and the Affordable Clean Energy Rule were both attempts by the EPA to fulfill their obligations under the Clean Air Act and regulate carbon dioxide emissions. So the Clean Power Plan was under the Obama era EPA. In 2015, they proposed a plan that basically, the reason it got shot down was because it included something called generation shifting, where they were saying power, coal and gas plants would have to shut down in favor of solar and wind and clean energy. And the Clean Air Act really only allows the EPA to regulate at a source. So they couldn't demand that places shut down and give way to new stuff. So that was what the West Virginia VEPA ruling found, and it gave way to new emissions standards this year that that are more at the source. So it's looking more at capturing carbon, using clean hydrogen, stuff that can be done at the actual power plant to reduce emissions. The Affordable Clean Energy Rule was the Trump era attempt to regulate greenhouse gas emissions, and courts shot it down immediately for not going far enough under the Clean Air Act. So this latest attempt was kind of finding a sweet spot. So Owen takes the lead. Looks like he answered quicker. So he's got 1,629 points. Hallie is at 1,553. On to question five. In which way would climate change not have affected last summer's historic flooding in Australia? It makes cyclones more frequent. It led to more extreme rains earlier in the year. It led more water to evaporate from nearby soil and water bodies. Or it made La Niña more intense. It made cyclones more frequent. Who got this one?
I got this one. Usually the frequency of events is less affected by climate change. The intensity is more affected, but I wasn't necessarily sure about cyclones, like, in general, but yeah, that's why I chose this answer.
Yeah, that's correct. Climate change doesn't necessarily make cyclones more frequent, but it does make them more severe. So the other three all could plausibly have been ways that, and I would say likely ways that climate change affected those floods in Australia, but it really had nothing to do with cyclones. So that was the answer. So with that, Hallie moves into the lead with 2,209 points. Still got to get Sabrina on the board. Question six. In the article titled, Oregon's Heatwave Death Toll Reaches 107 in Mass Casualty Event, ABC News used which thumbnail image? A digital thermometer displaying triple-digit temperatures, a sunburnt farmer wiping sweat, a packed emergency room lobby, or a golden retriever drinking water? It is a golden retriever drinking water. And
thank
got it.
Goodness, I am on the board.
Congrats, Sabrina.
Thank you. That was really exciting.
How did you get this one?
I remember seeing this image. I mean, it was a great use of, you know, pathos. It made people love dogs. People don't want to see a dog thirsty. So it was effective, but also kind of silly.
It made people love dogs, but it didn't capture at all the severity of a mass casualty event.
God, no. Not even close.
Yeah, which was really the topic of the episode and why I felt comfortable making such a specific question here. The episode was about, there was an analysis by Columbia that looked at a bunch of different articles about extreme heat events, and they were finding people were using, like, people laying out at the beach or kids playing in the pool or to talk about very serious lethal heat events. And it was, I'm all for optimism, but that was not very fitting of the actual news stories. So all right, so Sabrina's on the board at 650 points, Owen at 1629, Hallie at 2815. Hallie has a streak now as well. On to question seven. Why were scientists concerned that the Atlantic Ocean lost 90% of its phytoplankton? It caused a mass die-off of fish species. It led to a drop in global oxygen production. It increased ocean acidification. Or it didn't actually happen, the study was wrong. It was D, it didn't actually happen. And who got this one?
I got this one. I remember looking at this episode and seeing that number was just, like, really high. And then in the episode, we talked about why the number that number is too high. But also, yeah, just like ocean-wide studies are really hard to do. There's like a lot of room that you can go wrong.
Yeah, we'd be dead if the Atlantic Ocean lost 90% of its phytoplankton. That was not only wrong, I forget exactly what the details were, but the study was conducted on like somebody's, I think they asked like yacht owners to take samples, and the company that commissioned the study was like a water filtration company, and they were trying to use it to like cast doubt on climate change. So the news coverage of it was not even what the study was trying to accomplish. It was very bizarre, but thankfully it was not true. So Hallie's lead is up to 35-27. Owen and Sabrina have some catching up to do already. Question 8. Which country voted no to the UN's resolution declaring a universal human right to a clean and healthy environment? China, Russia, Iran, or nobody voted no? It was D, nobody voted no. Who got it?
I got this one. Well, I remember it being declared a universal human right. So I didn't have much evidence to pick the other answers, but yeah.
I just really didn't think you were going to do that to us twice. Twice in a row. I just had my doubts, but I guess you did.
Yeah, Hallie is scary in these cahoots. Yeah, these three countries all abstained from the vote, as did a few others, but nobody voted no, and almost everybody voted yes, and this was a very big deal of a story. So Hallie is up to 42-88. On to question 9. Which climate provision was not in the Inflation Reduction Act? $60 billion for clean energy manufacturing, $20 billion for climate smart agriculture, $7 billion for environmental permitting reform, or $500 million for heat pump production? It was $7 billion for environmental permitting reform, and who got this one?
I got this one.
I swear to God.
Sabrina's gonna jump through the screen.
This is just, I had no idea, Hallie. I am impressed and embarrassed.
Yeah, I know it included definitely stuff for clean energy, and in that is heat pump production. Sort of sneak peek, we're going to be doing an episode on permitting. So I actually did some of the background stuff for that. Didn't come across Inflation Reduction Act frequently. So that's sort of what led me to this answer.
That makes sense. And by the time this episode comes out, the permitting episode will also be out. But yeah, I believe Joe Manchin tried to get permitting reform into the, I don't know if he tried to get it into the Inflation Reduction Act or if he kind of cut a deal to say we'll do permitting reform if we pass this, and then that didn't happen in 2022. It is going to happen, or it started to happen this year. But yeah, there was nothing that I know of in the Inflation Reduction Act around permitting reform. That's kind of the hot issue this summer. So Hallie is now up to 49-86. On to question 10. Spotted lanternflies poop a sugary liquid called lantern excreta, honeydew, glow goo, or guano. It is honeydew. Who got it?
I did.
I was the other one that got one too.
Owen, look at us.
Yes, the comeback begins.
Comeback kids.
No.
Let's pool our points together from now on.
Please.
No way.
Gotta tamper the collusion allegations.
Yeah.
I just really wanted it to be honeydew. That's why I picked it. Because I was like, please, that would be so funny. And then it was.
Sabrina, were you in New York during the spotted lanternfly invasion?
I was not. I was in Connecticut. But I saw one the other day.
Really?
Yeah, and I stepped on it. So you're welcome.
Saving the world. One
I do what I can.
Crushed lanternfly at a time.
Yep, saw my opportunity and I took it.
But yeah, it's actually that poop that was what caused a lot of the issues, because the poop gets on the plant and then the plant will, it'll block out sunlight from hitting the plant. So that was one of the reasons why the invasion was so concerning. So with that, Sabrina's up to 1502, Owen up to 2586, Hallie holds the lead at 4986. On to question 11, which of these is not a way in which climate change makes hurricanes more severe? Warm ocean water equals more energy, warm air equals more evaporation equals more rainfall, high pressure systems equal bigger hurricane eyes, or sea level rise equals hurricanes travel further inland. It is C, high pressure systems equal bigger hurricane eyes, and nobody got this one.
Embarrassing, guys. Come on. What's going on?
Yeah, so hurricanes form around low pressure systems. When there's a low pressure system in the tropics, you have winds from the south will start blowing toward it, but they'll their momentum due to the Coriolis effect will swing them, depending on the hemisphere, either in front or behind the low pressure system. It happens the same way in the north, where winds blow down and get swung in one direction or the other, and that creates the spiraling winds that ultimately lead to a hurricane. These other three answers are how climate change makes hurricanes worse, but a high pressure system would not be at the center of a hurricane. It would be a low pressure system. So on to question 12. Which common industrial solvent was found to have the ability to break up PFAS chemicals? Dimethyl sulfide, acetone peroxide, ethyl acetate, or propylene glycol? It's the winner's circle. I have to do unreasonable questions. It is dimethyl sulfide, and who got it?
I got this one. Yeah, I actually wrote an opinion piece about this last summer, I believe. So
that's right. I forgot about that. Definitely go check that out. This one also had a joke that I can't explain here, but I'll tell you after. It was funny going back and rereading some of these tip of the icebergs. There was also one that I reread, and it was while I had COVID last year, and I could see the COVID in the script. There was one joke that was like, it was the climate and weather one, and it was like, climate change is longer term averages, whereas weather is the thing I'm under right now. Yeah, also the hurricane one was toward the end of the summer last year. We hadn't really had any major hurricanes, and so I did an episode that was kind of just, have you guys noticed that there haven't really been any hurricanes this year? And then right after Hurricane Fiona, Hurricane Ian, I was like, yeah, that was my fault. So now at the approximately halfway point, Sabrina is at 1502, Owen is at 2586, Hallie has the lead at 5930. There is absolutely still room for a comeback. On to question 13. Which way would climate change not have exacerbated last year's floods in Pakistan? Hotter land temperatures lead to low pressure systems above land. Stronger El Nino led to more intense rainfall patterns. Warm air led to more ocean water evaporation. Or melting glaciers led to more Indus River water evaporation. It is B. A stronger El Nino led to more intense rainfall patterns. And who got this one?
I did.
Oh, and we only get them right when we both get them right.
Yeah, that's why we need to combine points.
Oh, boy.
Come back.
Yeah.
Would either of you like to speak to this one?
Yeah, that one was, I think it was, to me, what stood out was the more intense rainfall patterns. I think the low pressure systems above land didn't really make sense to me, but Yeah, I kind of was like basing it off the last one that we talked about that was a little bit around this area, but nothing, yeah, concrete about it.
The big red flag was that we were in a La Nina last year. We just entered an El Nino, so that would not have been applicable. But yeah, the other three were certainly contributors to the monsoon in Pakistan that led to those really, really horrible floods. So with that, Sabrina is up to 2133. Owen's up to 3182. Making up ground on Hallie. On to question 14. Which Caribbean island was not hit by Hurricane Fiona? Puerto Rico, Turks and Caicos, Trinidad and Tobago, or Dominican Republic? It is Trinidad and Tobago, and who got this one?
Me, somehow.
Now you're getting them on your own.
Sorry, Owen. I've separated myself.
I'm leaving me behind.
I'm sorry.
How did you get this one, Sabrina?
Well, it was half guess, half I heard about. I definitely knew Puerto Rico was hit, and I knew the Dominican Republic, so I was kind of choosing between the two. And if I'm honest, I went with color theory. The last one was blue, so this one I went with yellow.
There you go. Yeah, if you're a geography nerd like I am, Trinidad is a lot further from these three. But yes, the Hurricane Fiona hit the other three very hard, as well as, I believe, Guadeloupe and Bermuda, if I remember right. With that, does Sabrina pass Owen? Ah, not quite. 2845, Owen at 3182. Making up ground. Question 15. In which metric did Hurricane Ian not beat 2004's Hurricane Charley? Wind speed, storm surge, hurricane propagation speed, or size of the eye? It was wind speed, and who got it?
Me again!
She's coming back!
Guys, why does this happen?
Oh,
like you said, the more you put yourself down, the more
the more self-deprecation, the better I do. It's psychology, guys, I swear.
Do you want to speak to this answer?
Sure. I don't know what my like logic really was, but I do remember hearing that it like the eye of this hurricane was particularly large, so I knew it wasn't that, and I just kind of figured I would have known if the wind had been like absolutely insane. So I just kind of also guessed.
Yeah, so the wind speeds were tied, I believe, at 150 miles per hour, which was historic. The other three, Hurricane Ian, was significantly worse. The size of the eye of Hurricane Ian was, like, you could have fit all of Hurricane Charley inside the eye of Hurricane Ian. Like, it was massive. And hurricane propagation speed refers to the speed at which the weather system moves through the state. And so it's not like the wind speeds, it's the speed at which the entire like swirly thing moves across the map. And Hurricane Ian moved very slowly as compared to others, which was not good because that made it cause more damage because it was there for longer. So Sabrina moves ahead of Owen. She's up to 3661. On to question 16. Sackett v. EPA concerned the EPA's authority to regulate streams, wetlands, tailpipes, or power plants. It was wetlands. Nobody got it.
That was my second guess, too. Defend myself.
I talk about this one a lot, too. That was disappointing. Yeah, Sackett v. EPA was a case in which Chantel and Michael Sackett, a couple in Idaho, wanted to build a home on near Priest Lake. And the area in which the home was, they excavated it, and then the EPA came in and said they needed a permit to do that. This was like 17 years ago that happened, and this led to a long-lasting court battle that ended It was decided this last June that all 9 Supreme Court justices said they did not need a permit to build on this wetland. 5 of them agreed to alter the definition of wetlands under the Clean Water Act to just be any area that has a surface connection to a lake, stream, or river, or other water body. So that that restricted the definition of wetlands that are protected. That doesn't mean we couldn't protect more, it just means Congress has to write legislation to do that. So a little bit about Sackett. On to question 17. Which climate tipping point is likely to be set off at 1.5 degrees Celsius of warming? Loss of mountain glaciers, collapse of the East Antarctic ice sheet, complete die-off of tropical coral reefs, or collapse of ocean currents in the Labrador Sea? Complete die-off of tropical coral reefs. Nobody got it. That seems like I've quieted everybody too.
The embarrassing silence.
The way everyone's laughing and having reactions, but they're muted so no one can see.
Well, complete die-off seems like, I don't know, seems like a lot.
Yeah, that scared me with that answer.
Yeah, it's the coral reefs are very vulnerable to climate change. They're also very resilient when it comes to coral bleaching, but they're one of the first things to go when it comes to climate change. So, all right, on to question 18. From 2016 to 2021, which bank was the global leader in fossil fuel funding? JP Morgan Chase, Citigroup, Wells Fargo, or Bank of America? It is JP Morgan Chase, and who got it?
I was one of the answers.
I was the other, a dynamic duo back again.
This is what we need.
Ellie, they're nipping at your heels.
I know, I'm nervous.
Would either of you like to speak to this one?
Well, for me, it was like I've done over a year in the banking industry. So I remember this is just like something that gets talked about, or I remember that was notable to me just because I have experience there. But I wasn't with JP Morgan and Chase, but I do remember this talk.
And now you never will be. No, just kidding.
Yeah.
You can fix them.
Yeah.
Yeah, this episode was interesting because it was actually JP Morgan Chase 1, Citigroup 2, Wells Fargo 3, Bank of America 4, and all 4 of them are also in the UN's Net Zero Banking Alliance. So they were working to try to divest from this, which makes sense not just environmentally, but also economically. And they got subpoenaed for being in the Net Zero Banking Alliance because states were claiming this was collusion against the fossil fuel industry. So that was a very strange episode where these banks were getting accused of being too green by by certain states. So with that, Owen's up to 4,086. Sabrina's up to 4,510. Hallie's holding her lead at 5930, but it's getting slimmer. It's a game now. Question 19. Which of these is not a criticism of applying the 3.5% rule to climate protests? The 3.5% rule only evaluated maximalist campaigns. The 3.5% standard was only achieved twice in history. The 3.5% rule has been broken before. Or the 3.5% standard implies broader support, but only 3.5% come to protest. It is B. The 3.5% standard was only achieved twice in history. And who got it?
I got this one.
And there it is.
He's back!
I'm back.
Do you want to say how you got it?
It was more like me digging into like Ethan's brain, making the questions and being like, like twice in history, like this is a weird one to just like come up with. But also I knew it wasn't that the 3.5% rule only evaluated maximalist campaigns, and I knew it wasn't where only 3.5% came to protest. So, and I also, like, if it was broken, it would have been updated. That was my thought process, but mainly it was being like, what would Ethan do?
This is like Jeopardy, where the more times you're on, you get the advantage of like knowing the clicker and all that. Did you remember what the 3.5% rule was?
Is it like you only need 3.5% of the population to protest to make difference?
Yeah, that's it. And there were a lot of climate activism organizations that started sort of posting this on their website and saying like, we only need 3.5% of the population to make a difference. And so they started antagonizing like 96.5% of the population. And this was a, I talked about this during our episode on the throwing soup at paintings, because that was, it was, some of the same organizations were involved in that. And I was kind of trying to make the point that to get 3.5% of the population protesting, you need a lot more support than that, because not everybody goes out to protest. So most movements that had 3.5% protesting had very, very broad public support. So that was an interesting episode. I was trying to not just rail on the soup throwing at paintings and actually analyze it with some more data. So with that, Hallie moves up to 65-15. Sabrina and Owen are about 2,000 behind, so they still have a chance. Question 20. Said Simon Steele, Paris gave us the agreement, Katowice and Glasgow gave us the plan, Sharm el-Sheikh shifts us to money, equity, accountability, or implementation. This was the opening speech at COP27. It was implementation, and who got it?
I think I got this one again. Sabrina's shaking her head.
That might have been the win.
Yeah, I thought for sure it was accountability, but
me too. See, we always have the same answer.
I know. I
collusion.
And then sometimes it's right, but it's mostly wrong.
Yeah.
Hallie, were you the one that wrote the column about, I know someone wrote a column about this, but I couldn't remember who.
I did not write a column about this, but I figured implementation, I didn't really know the quote, but implementation is like broad enough to be sort of like in that statement, and accountability is something that like was discussed, but isn't necessarily the next step after you have the plan.
Yeah, the conference was, everyone was calling it the implementation conference. And I think I was saying that the plans, while good, the plans that each country had put forth to that point, even their pledges, would not have fully gotten us down to 1.5 degrees Celsius. I think they were hovering around like 1.8 or 2 if every country implemented all the pledges that they had made. And so I was kind of saying, we need to implement, but we also need to have the right plan to implement. So it would be nice to see both of those things happen. But yes, it was implementation. So Hallie moves to 7207. Sabrina is still in it mathematically. If Hallie gets all three wrong and Sabrina gets all three right instantaneously.
But yeah, that's definitely going to happen.
For sure. Question 21. Which country quieted critics from COP26 by proposing an agreement to phase down all fossil fuels at COP27? China, Russia, India, or Saudi Arabia? India, and all three for the first time.
Go us. But that means Hallie is now locked in. Also sad for us.
R.I.P. But hey, we gave it our all.
That is true. Would anyone like to speak to the actual answer?
Well, it's not Saudi Arabia. So yeah, I guess it was more just the one that sounded right because I knew it wasn't the other three, but
yeah. That was a big deal at COP26 where there was a phrase in the agreement where all the countries agreed to phase out coal. And then at the last minute, China and India came in and changed it to phase down coal. And India was the one that announced the change. And so there was a lot of bad press going on about India. And what I said at the time in the second episode of Tip of the Iceberg was that China and India are some of the few countries that still rely on coal and don't use oil and gas as much. And so if they're getting all this blowback, but none of the oil and gas users are getting any blowback, that seems a little unfair. And they were still agreeing to do something. They just wanted a little tweak that was largely meaningless at the time. And so I kind of made that point. And then India really came through and proved me right when they proposed to phase down all fossil fuels at the next conference. I think that was one of my prouder moments of having a hot take and being proven exactly right. So with that, Hallie, I believe, secures the win up to 79-48. Sabrina's at 52-70, Owen's at 49-24. We still have a battle for second place, though, and two more questions. Question 22, which new fund was established at COP27? The Green Climate Fund, the Global Environment Facility, the Adaptation Fund, or the Loss and Damage Fund? It was the Loss and Damage Fund, and who got this one?
I was one of them.
I also got this one.
All right. Would either of you like to speak to this one?
For me, I just remember, I think I wrote an article that had to do with this, or at least it came across my research in some way. And that was kind of where I remember the Loss and Damage Fund. And I think that's kind of why I was like thinking about accountability a little bit in the last answer too, because I was like, you got to taking accountability for everything that is going to happen and has happened in the past as well, which I think this kind of entails.
Yeah, the Loss and Damage Fund was a big deal. I also wrote a op-ed that I believe that one was in Counterpunch about how the Loss and Damage Fund was a win not just for developing countries, but also for Americans. So definitely check out our content on that. That was a very big deal. So with that, Owen moves up into second with 57-39. Sabrina's right behind him at 52-70. Hallie is the lead at 8,900. Last question, if Sabrina gets and Owen doesn't, that flips it. So let's see. Question 23. Which country has not ratified the UN Convention on Biodiversity? The United States, China, Brazil, or Syria?
Please.
United States. Who got it?
Me? Somehow.
You got it?
I did. Sorry,
How did
Owen.
You get this one?
Just kidding. You could probably still get second place, and honestly, that would be more deserved. But I kind of picked it ironically. I was like, it'd be kind of funny if it was the United States, because that's embarrassing.
And it was. And China was hosting the conference while the United States was not a part of it. I thought Hallie wrote something about this. No?
No, Olivia has
opinion
piece on this.
That's right. Yeah, it was the United States. And yeah, that I think 193 countries have ratified it. The US is one of four that has not. I think it was like South Sudan, the Vatican, and like it was kind of ridiculous. So it depends on when Sabrina answered. So we will see who gets third and second. Let's see. In third place with 5,739 points is Owen. In second place with 6,015 is Sabrina. And in first place with 8,900 points, our defending champion, Hallie.
Woo! Well deserved.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, maybe it's partially a guessing game, which I feel like it was more this round than last time. I feel like I didn't know a lot of these that were hard.
It's tough to remember all these old news stories.
Yeah, these were tough. I was digging deep and still lost, so.
I couldn't rely on any social media posts for this one.
Yeah.
Congratulations once again, Hallie. Maybe in a year we'll have two more challengers for you to squash again. Crushing souls, really.
Yeah, I'm always excited, but I feel like they're becoming rare because everyone has to play each other and then they'll play me.
Exactly, we have to get winners out of the other competitions to step up to the plate. Yeah, congrats once again, Hallie. Thank you all for playing, and thank you all for coming on.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Even though I lost.
Oh, you didn't think that was the end of the episode, right? My name is Megan, and as you know, I do the outros for these lovely bonus episodes. Thank you so much for listening, and if you enjoyed this bonus episode, I highly recommend you check out our Patreon at patreon.com/thesweatypenguin. Here, you can get merch, bonus content, and so much more. You might even learn what Ethan was talking about when he said,
I just know Megan is going to put this either at the end or in the Patreon version. And
or get my own personal lanternfly story. Other big Sweaty Penguin news includes that starting next week, we will go back to our 2-episode-a-week release model, so you'll get a tip of the iceberg every Wednesday and a deep dive every Friday. Join the Sweaty Penguin as we enter our 1989 era, and I will hear you guys next time.